Okay, so Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 10, that's on page 823 in the church Bible. Okay. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the days will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ.
Brilliant. Well, do keep that passage, Ephesians 1, open in front of you, please, because we're going to be looking at that in some more detail over the next few moments. Why don't I pray for us now? Father God, thank you very much for this opportunity to meet with one another this evening and to sing songs of praise to you, to share fellowship with one another. And thank you that we can meet and look at your word too. We thank you that your word is so powerful in how it speaks to us, how it challenges us, how it rebukes us, how it encourages us. And we pray that we would listen to you this evening and hear you speak personally to us. And we pray that over the next few weeks, we would see how the Bible fits together better. And as we understand the Bible better, we pray that we would come to know the Lord Jesus of whom it speaks better, and that we would grow to love him more and more. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever bought flat-packed furniture or anything else that needs making? You get it home, tip it out on the floor, and wonder how on earth it's ever going to look like the picture on the box. And then you read your instructions and you see some obscure little picture with a few arrows and sort of nuts and bolts in all kinds of direction, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense. You may tell I'm no DIY enthusiast, but in all seriousness, if you're going to make a piece of furniture, you at least need to know what it looks like. You need to see a picture in the catalogue of the beautiful piece in all its glory. And that's exactly the picture that God paints for us at the start of Ephesians. No flat-pack furniture, you'll be pleased to know, but the future. Where life is heading? Where are we heading? What is God's plan for the world? That's a question we're going to be thinking about. What is God's plan for the world? In fact, you may be asking, does God even have a plan for the world? Or does God just sit back and let things sort of run themselves? Perhaps he only gets involved every now and then to sort things out, to sort out what a mess we've made. Some people think that God made the world and then puts various laws in place and then takes a sort of back seat and lets us, leaves it all down to us. Some people believe there's some sort of fight going on, a constant fight between good and evil. And when good things happen, God's winning. But when evil things happen, the devil's winning. Well, this passage, along with the rest of the Bible, makes clear that the world runs very differently to this. The Bible is quite clear that there is one God who is completely sovereign. That means ruling in total control over everything. And this is very, very good news for lots of different reasons. So the sovereign God has a plan. This is the first thing I want us to see this evening, and I've called it God's eternal plan. Simply because God has always had a plan. God didn't have one plan, and then all of a sudden have to say, oh, that caught me totally by surprise, I'd better come up with a sort of B plan. Now, God has an eternal plan that he made before he created the world. We see this at the start of verse 4. He chose us in him before the creation of the world. And in verse 5, he predestined us. That means he had chosen and worked out what would happen to us before it does. And then again in verse 11, let me read verse 11. Just after what Alex read. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. See, God works out everything according to the purpose of his will. What he wants to happen. The Bible is about a God who is absolutely sovereign over everything. And as we spend time working through the story of the Bible, we'll see this again and again. But think for a moment, what does that actually mean? Well, may I suggest two things. Don't despair and don't be proud. Because God is in control of everything that happens, good or bad. And God has a great plan, as we're going to see. So the final outcome of everything fits into God's good plan. So don't despair when things don't go as we like. God's in control. And don't be proud when they do, because God's in control. So God has an eternal plan. And our Bible overview will help us most if we keep this eternal plan in the forefront of our minds. Because God's eternal plan was made long before the Bible was written. And the Bible, in the Bible, we'll see this plan worked out through God's people. But what is God's eternal plan? Fortunately, as verse 9 says, God reveals it to us so we can know what God's plan is. And the first thing we can say about it is God's eternal plan is for the praise of his glory. It's right there at the start of verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever this great plan is going to be, God deserves to be praised. It's there right the way through. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace. And verse 12, the purpose of those whose hope is in Christ is that they might be for the praise of his glory. And again at the end of verse 14. This great eternal plan has an underlying purpose of bringing God glory. It is for us to look at him and praise him. Really, that should come as no surprise. When I was little, I had a Lego castle once for Christmas. And I built it. I put all the pieces together, bit by bit. I put a little drawbridge in place and I tied thread through it so it could lift up and close nicely. And then I put the little men in place. Why did I do all that? Well, because I enjoyed it. It was for me. I certainly didn't build the castle for the enjoyment of those little plastic men. That'd be a crazy idea. And the Bible says that if we're like clay, then God is a potter who can make us into what he chooses. God's ultimate purpose is that he is glorified. And this isn't wrong, because God is absolutely deserving of all our praise. His character is perfect, loving, he's holy and good. And yet there is something shocking about God's purpose. And the shocking thing is that God's purpose involves us being blessed. It involves sinful people being chosen and made holy like gods. It takes people who've rejected God and puts them in his family to inherit a never-ending, perfect relationship with God. It involves us being blessed through God's grace. You see, it is different from me and my Lego. I was the only one who enjoyed that. The Lego got nothing out of me. It sometimes got lost or chewed by my younger brother, granted. But God's plan is for his glory, but also involves huge blessing for us. So God's eternal plan is to bless us through Christ's work. Listen again to how God has blessed us, as I'm going to read again from verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Now, some of God's blessings we already have, but some we don't. But either way, Paul can write this in the past tense, because the blessing promised is absolutely certain. So God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Christians, those described as being in Christ, don't have every blessing yet. Some are saved for them in heaven. But in a sense we do, because God's blessing is certain because of Christ's work on the cross. The blessing involves God's people. And we see that in the end of verse 4, being holy and blameless in God's sight. And this is possible through the forgiveness we can have because of Jesus, mentioned in verse 7. Have a look down again. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. You see, it's because of God's grace. That is the undeserved gift we receive when we identify ourselves as in Christ. Because Jesus deals with our sin and he gives us a new clean life. God sees us as holy and he welcomes us as his children. He lets us enjoy the blessing of a loving Father when we die in heaven forever. Every blessing, every good thing we'll ever want or need. I don't know what the best present you've ever received is, but this has to beat whatever you can think of. And it's a kind of present which is so big, it comes in lots of parts. You've enjoyed it. You received it. You opened it. You've enjoyed using it. But you know there is still more to come. And this is God's free gift, made possible by Christ's complete finished work for us on the cross. So, God's eternal plan is for the praise of his glory. God's eternal plan is to bless us through Christ's work. And it's to unite us under Christ's rule. You see, God makes clear where his big overall, what his big overall plan is. And please have a look down at verses 9 and 10. Why does he reveal his plan? Because he wanted to. It's according to his good pleasure. What's the plan all about? Jesus. It's purposed in Christ. When is the plan complete? When the times have reached their fulfillment. One day in the future, when God knows his best and everything's ready. And what is this great plan? The end of verse 10, to bring all things on heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. It is to unite God's people, to bring Christians, those who have died already and those still alive, together, to unite us under one head, Christ Jesus. So this is God's big eternal plan. Yes, it involves us being wonderfully blessed because of what Jesus has done for us. But ultimately, it's about all believers everywhere being brought together under the rule of Jesus. One day we will live with just other Christians, and one day we will perfectly submit to Jesus as our King. And before we go on over the next few weeks to look at the story of the Bible, let's be clear that this is God's eternal plan made possible through Jesus. To bring a group of people together to worship and submit to King Jesus. So can I ask you an important question that verse 13 raises? And maybe you could just have a glance down. Because while some people are saying, yeah, this is the most amazing future, bring it on, I can't wait, there may be others saying, I'm not sure, I don't know this promise includes me. Well, we are included in Christ, verse 13, when we hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And God gives us his Holy Spirit, it says, as a sign, a guarantee that we're included. So have you heard the word of truth? I don't just mean being to church or I've heard a talk or even read your Bible. But have you actually heard it? Have you come to the great news of Jesus with listening ears, ready to hear and respond? Because it's not too late. You can say to God today, yes, I've heard the message of Jesus, that I can be blessed through him, and I believe it. Please include me in your plan. And the wonderful thing is, God will. If you say that and mean it, it's a sign that you're included in God's eternal plan and can be confident of receiving every blessing in Christ. So it is great that God's plan is in one sense about us. It includes us. It involves us being blessed. But perhaps if some of you noticed the repeated phrase that keeps coming up, in Christ, or in him, talking about Christ. It's mentioned throughout because this is the reason Christians can receive this blessing. And this is the blessing itself. Because it's all about a relationship with God through Jesus. We'll see over the next few months how a theme of relationship with God is introduced next week as we look at Genesis. And then how it all went wrong. And then how, throughout each part of the Bible, that relationship is made possible because of God and because of what God does. Because it's about God making it possible through Jesus, it's not something earned or deserved in any way. We'll see that in the Bible overview, and you could read on in Ephesians and see it so clearly. It's a relationship of grace, totally unmerited. So while I occasionally attempt DIY, and it usually turns out a disaster, the maker of the world has given us a clear picture of what his purpose for the world is. And it's about a relationship where God chooses a people to bless. And the relationship involves God's people willingly submitting to Jesus as King and living perfectly under his rule. And this plan will bring much glory to God as Christians willingly submit to his rule. So let me finish with a question. Have you grasped how big and wonderful is this plan of the sovereign God. Have you grasped how big and wonderful is the plan of this sovereign God? This is quite a complex passage. I hope I haven't complicated it. But the God of relationships we're looking at this term has a plan that involves us submitting to Jesus as King. God wants us to submit to him now, to submit every part of our lives over to Jesus, to live every day in every situation we face, submitting to Jesus as our King. And this is where God's world is heading. And we must let God enlarge our view of him. His plan is wonderful. He is an awesome King. And yet he welcomes and blesses us as his children. A God of grace who deserves all our praise. So let's worship Jesus as our King this week. What we're going to do in response is have a moment of silence, and perhaps you want to pray to God. Perhaps you want to thank him for his great plan. Perhaps you want to ask for his help that you may submit each part of your life to Jesus' rule. And then after a moment, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. So let's just have a moment of quiet. Father God, thank you that you have a plan for the world, which you have always had. Thank you that you are bringing that plan to come true. Thank you that ultimately you want to bless your people and you want to bring a group of people together under the rule of Jesus. We pray that you help us to submit each part of our life to Jesus' rule now and in the days to come, particularly those areas we find difficult. We're sorry when we don't live with Jesus as our King. Please forgive us and help us now, we pray, to each day have a bigger view of how great you are, how great your plan is, how wonderful all you've done for us is, and to bow in worship before King Jesus. Amen.